Hi, I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Yes, there are toxic chemicals all around, and we encounter them every day, but there's something that we can do about it. We can eliminate toxic exposures in our own homes. We can remove toxic chemicals from our bodies. We can support legislation that limits toxic exposures in consumer products and choose to have a toxic-free life where we can think clearly, our bodies will feel good, we can feel good, and we can be productive and happy and do whatever we want. That's the point of this show, is to get to those solutions and find out what we need to be doing in order to have a toxic-free world. My guest today is Nathaniel Johnson. He's the author of a book called All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover If the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. But before we talk to him, I want to tell you about a summer vacation I had a few years ago. I went to Concord, Massachusetts, home of Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Louisa May Alcott. And for those of you who don't know who these people are, I have discovered that some people in the world don't know these people. But I grew up with them, and that probably ages me. Louisa May Alcott is the author of a very famous book called Little Women, which has been a movie also. Her father was a big mover and shaker in social change going on at that time. And Henry David Thoreau wrote a very famous book called Walden, in which he, I'll tell you about him in a minute. Ralph Waldo Emerson was one of the greatest philosophers of all America of ever. And he wrote a number of philosophic books about the importance of nature and the importance of spirituality. And all of these people were living at a time in the late 1800s when industrialism was coming to America and getting established, and that the whole American scene was changing from being agricultural and having lots of open spaces and lots of wild land to being more industrialized, and instead of having artisans making things, they were being made by machines and factories. Henry David Thoreau was one of the most outspoken people on this, and his book Walden was about his experience living for a period of time. I don't remember how long he lived there, but he built a house with his own hands on the shores of the lake there. Which is still there. The lake is there. The house is no longer there. But he built the house, and Walden is the story of him living there and what he spent his money on and how he went for walks and how he grew his food and all these different things. That what he was trying to do was keep connected with nature at a time when we were fast losing nature to industrialism. There's a wonderful museum there in Concord that addresses this very issue. And I learned a lot by going there. I highly recommend a visit to Concord, Massachusetts to anybody who would like to go on a nice vacation, an instructional vacation. Right near Concord is also Lexington, where the Revolutionary War started. And so there's a lot you can learn about the founding of our country of going to that area. So that's essentially what we're going to be talking about today, is this difference between, or the struggle, I should say, between nature and industrialism. Nathaniel, thank you for being here with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Deborah.
I took a look at your book, and I thought, oh, this is going to be an interesting conversation. So I've read part of your book. I haven't read all of it, but I've read enough of it to get the idea of what you're going to be talking about. So first, let's start by having you tell our listening audience about your childhood and how you came to write this book. What motivated you to write this book?
Well, I had parents who were really influenced by those transcendentalist philosophers that you were just talking about. And they really believed that that it was healthier to embrace nature rather than trying to protect ourselves from nature using technology. And so this meant that I had this childhood where you grew up in in a small town up in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains, and we ate a lot of natural foods. There was a lot of kale and brown rice, and backpacking in the mountains every summer, and it was really an idyllic childhood in many ways. My father went so far as to ban diapers even, because that was considered unnatural, because the idea was that, here are the kids in the fastest period of growth wearing these big bulky things between their legs, and that it would warp the bones.
Uh-huh.
And so this is, yet another example of technology causing problems with nature. So, I really had this wonderful childhood in some ways, but I also got a front row seat from which to observe the ways in which it failed. And so, I grew up with this, and like the diaper thing, as I checked that out as an adult, there's really no evidence that diapers deform bones, and 99% of Olympians, 0.9, pretty much everybody has some form of diapers, and does fine. And so I really became, conflicted in some ways, because this idea that what's natural is good is deeply wedded to my sense of childhood innocence, and purity. But at the same time, I saw these ways in which it kind of went to crazy places. So as an adult, when I was trying to make decisions for my own children, my wife and I just had our first daughter. And it's no coincidence that the daughter and the book came around the same time. I started doing all this research to try and figure out, if there was a way to logically pick through the wisdom and separate it from the craziness.
Well, my background, just so you know, is kind of the opposite, in that I grew up in a very technological childhood, on TV dinners and television. And then I got to a point in my adulthood where I got pretty sick pretty early in my adult life at age 24. I was disabled, and it turned out to be from exposure to toxic chemicals. And I had no idea there were toxic chemicals in my home. I thought that people, manufacturers, were ethical and wouldn't give us anything that was bad for us, and that the government was watching out for us. And yet here my ordinary American home was making me sick, very sick. And I had to reexamine everything about the technological world, because I had to take everything I owned and look at it and say, is this toxic or is it not toxic? Is it making me sick or not sick? And the answer for me was to look to nature and see that my body belonged to nature. It came from nature like any other species, and that things more natural would make more sense. And as I made my life more natural, my health improved, and I did become healthier and happier. So I think
there's a certain logic to that, right? That that we came from this world where we've spent thousands of years living in this world. Our bodies are adapted to this world, and now we've begun to change it very rapidly, we've changed it in some ways in which our bodies are not adapted.
Well, we'll talk more about that after the break. I'm Deborah Lindad. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm here with Nathaniel Johnson, author of All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover If the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. It's the longest subtitle in the universe. and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Nathaniel Johnson, author of All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover If the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. His website is allnaturalbook.com. And I thought that this would be a very interesting conversation to have, since I'm very naturally oriented, and this is what I'm talking about on my show all the time, is to say, let's get closer to nature, let's get closer to nature. But I also know that it's very difficult to do that. Again, Nathaniel, I'd just like to tell you something about that I've experienced and see how your experience corresponds or doesn't. When I first quote unquote discovered nature, I had a experience where I said, oh my God, nature is there. It's like I didn't see it before a certain point in time. And I said, that all the answers are in nature. All I need to do is look at nature and do what nature does. Because after all the other species are doing fine. It's the humans that don't know what they're doing. And so I started to try to pursue that path and very quickly found that it actually couldn't be done. That I couldn't completely leave the industrial world. And so I had to have one foot in nature and one foot in the industrial world. And at the time, I didn't know how true that was. But now I know that there really isn't a place on earth that we can go where nature actually exists in its pre-industrial state. So did you have, I know that a lot of your book is about looking at the pros and cons. So tell me what your experience was in that dichotomy of having these two worlds of nature and industry.
Right. Well, I think, I mean, the question of find, you know, finding all the answers in nature is a tricky one. I mean, obviously, we don't want to completely go back to nature. There's a lot of bad things. I think that, you know, sometimes people who are very technologically oriented use this kind of facile argument where they say, well, hurricanes are natural, tornadoes are natural. You don't want to, nature isn't good. And I think that that's not what we're saying. But there is the need to distinguish between what's good in nature and what's dangerous. You know, there are a lot of toxic chemicals I write about in plants.
Yes, there are. There are.
And that's something that we've lived with and evolved with and adapted to. But there's some evidence that perhaps, you know, we could make our lives longer if we started parsing out some of those and finding them. And, you know, there's, if we go back completely to nature, our lives would be certainly be shorter. So that's, you know, I say early in the book, you know, I want to return to nature, but I'm not willing to give up antibiotics. I'm not willing to give up, space travel or movies or all of these things that I love about technology at the same time.
Well, you know, honey has natural antibiotics. Why not just take
What's
honey?
That?
Honey has natural antibiotics.
I would say pretty much all antibiotics are natural. Penicillin comes from mold.
Right.
So, you know, all of these things, the line between what's natural and what's technological gets very fuzzy when you look closely at it. You know, penicillin comes from mold, but it's grown in petri dishes and it's refined by giant corporations and turned into an antibiotic. So then it feels less natural. You know, it gets harder to parse what's natural and what's not. And I really think that this division says more about us, that we divide the world into these two spheres, than it says about a real division that actually exists out there.
Well, I think there could be the argument that I would argue that we as human beings are part of nature. And so anything that we do is as natural as anything that a tree does, except that my observation has been, right or wrong, my observation has been that other species don't think as much as we do as human beings, and that we have more ability to change things, whereas
we are environment changers. Yeah, that's something that's very very different. The scale with which humans use technology. You can argue that there are some animals that's very interesting. You know, crows use tools and chimpanzees use tools, but we use technology that's altering. It's so vast that it's altering the planet in vast ways.
That's right. So it's not like like when a tree grows, for example, it's altering the environment, but it's altering the environment in a way that is harmonious. And so it takes nutrients from the ground, but it also produces nutrients, and it produces shade and environment and food and all kinds of things. Whereas a lot of what we're doing as humans is destructive. And it's not that we couldn't make choices that are more life-sustaining. It's that we haven't been.
Right.
And
I wouldn't argue with that. The question just gets, if you're trying to distinguish between which are natural antibiotics and which are unnatural antibiotics, it becomes very fuzzy, very very quickly. And I just don't think it's that. That's not a useful dividing line in choosing how to cure an illness.
Well. I would say yes and no. That's a question that I can't comment on in the next 9 seconds.
we're coming up on the break.
Yeah. So let's come up on the break and we'll be back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Nathaniel Johnson. He's the author of All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover If the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Nathaniel Johnson, author of All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover If the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. So, Nathaniel, does the natural approach to all those things really keep us healthier and happier? What did you finally come to decide about that?
Well, I wish that there were an easy answer. It would certainly be better for my book sales if I could say embrace nature in every way, or chuck nature out the window and be space age. Of course, like we were saying, you only have to think about it for a few seconds to think of parts of nature that are dangerous and parts of technology that are truly harmful. The conclusion I ended up coming to is that you really have to go through and assess the evidence on a case by case basis. But instead of having a rule of thumb.
For me, what I came to, I went through that same process of saying there's good and bad things about each. But what I finally came to was that the whole point of life, what it's trying to do is sustain itself. It's trying to survive. And so if you say, does this contribute to survival or not contribute to survival, sometimes the natural thing is going to contribute to survival and other times it won't. And the same for the industrial thing.
And there is, I think what you're getting at is there is that basic kind of evolutionary wisdom that there's some logic to embracing nature because we come from nature. We've figured things out over many, many years, and now we're starting to experiment with all kinds of new substances. So that's the in doing that, I just want to do it in a kind of systematic, thoughtful way rather than embracing all one side or all the other.
Well, I would agree with that. I can agree with that. Totally.
Okay, well, we have our platform to start with. Now we can build out from here.
Okay, good. So that now that we agree on that, tell me some examples of things that you decided that you wouldn't do because they didn't contribute to what you wanted to have happen that were of nature, and some things that you decided to not include in your life from industry.
Okay, let's see. What's a good example? Well, I mean, I mentioned the issue with diapers, but that's something that an industrial product, even cotton diapers are an industrial product, that I opted to use. I think the bigger issue with nature, what I didn't end up doing is, when I was growing up, I really struggled with trying to improve my performance as a distance runner. I was an athlete in high school, and I tried all different types of things, and you know, spent a lot of time in health food stores trying different things, and came to the conclusion that I was kind of spinning my wheels, and there were all of these people that were extremely committed to being healthy and were taking all kinds of different supplements, but didn't seem healthy. They were so just nervous about their health and kind of knocked down by any little thing that happened to them.
I've met people like that.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be that way, and so you know, they're. At the same time, I really came to this from the other direction, from wanting to make sure that I didn't take industrial medications that were going to do more harm than good. And you know, so there are things like Vioxx is a good example of this heart medication that was really doing terrible things and
yeah.
poisoning people. And so I really wanted to be critical about the industrial medical complex. And so as I started looking into that deeply and applying developing the skills to figure out the science of where they were cheating and lying, I saw that I needed to apply that same science to natural cures as well, and be just as critical. So I think the medical area is one where I've become much more. I think a lot of the things that we think of as illnesses, we immediately look for a fix. You know, whether it's a big pharmaceutical drug to make us feel better or numb the pain more often, or a natural supplement, and often our physical problems have to do with the way that we live our lives and our emotions and the people that we surround ourselves with.
Yes.
Much more than any biophysical problem.
I would totally agree with that, and where I've come to after all of these years dealing with my own health problems has been that I think that most illness is caused by the things that you've just stated, and also environment, lifestyle choices.
Yep.
And
yeah.
that it's a question of, I don't think about how to solve illness anymore. I think about how to build health and create health. And that if I do the things like get proper nutrition and get adequate rest and exercise and give my body the things that it needs, including social interaction and a big one for me is, as you and all my listeners know, a big one for me is stop beating ourselves over the head with toxic chemicals, and we'll have a lot more health. And what I see happening is, an example I like to give a lot is that there's formaldehyde resins on bed sheets and formaldehyde causes insomnia, and people are sleeping on those formaldehyde-soaked sheets every night over and over again and spending billions of dollars buying sleeping pills. Now, if people would just change their sheets, then they wouldn't need to have sleeping pills. It's really that simple. And so that's where I see that people could make a change towards something more natural, and that it would help all around. And
I didn't know about that. I just want to point out, though, that, you know, I don't know how much formaldehyde is on the sheets, but formaldehyde is something that we manufacture in our liver. It's in small quantities, it's something that's necessary for life. So, definitely you don't want so much of it on your sheets that it's keeping you awake, but it shouldn't be a blanket fear.
It shouldn't be a blanket fear, but I'll just say very quickly, because we need to go to break, that there's a difference between a naturally produced chemical and the same chemical formula, the same molecule produced industrially. And I can tell you, we'll talk about that for a minute when we come back from the break, because there is a difference. And I'm here, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be back with Nathaniel Johnson, author of All Natural, and a very long subtitle, when we get back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Nathaniel Johnson, author of All Natural, A Skeptic's Quest to Discover if the Natural Approach to Diet, Childbirth, Healing, and the Environment Really Keeps Us Healthier and Happier. I said it all in one breath that time.
All Natural is a perfectly acceptable abbreviation.
All right. So before the break, I had said to Nathaniel that, in fact, if you have two identical molecules and one is made in nature and the other one is made from petroleum in a laboratory or a factory, that they actually are physically different. And there's a lot of research on that that comes out of the natural supplement industry, where and not just supplements, but I've read this in books that have nothing to do with nutrition, that if you take these two molecules and one is manufactured and one is made by nature, that they have a fundamental difference in that they will bend light differently, and that there are certain parts of the molecule where it turns right instead of left. And I don't have it right in front of me to give you all the science all about it, but this is something that I've read widely in many different places. And I think that that's right, because if there's one thing that I know about nature, is that nature has its own way of doing things, and I don't think that it can be duplicated in a factory. And that as close as you might come, that there's always going to be something different, something missing. And I know that if I take natural vitamins, like whole food vitamins that come strictly from food, instead of vitamins where that those same nutrients are manufactured from petroleum, I feel completely different. My body responds to them in a completely different way. So I wouldn't agree with you on the point that industry could duplicate nature, and that it might be a very fine line, but it's enough of a line that I think our bodies can tell the difference. And that's just my viewpoint on that. But I don't want to take a lot of time to discuss
that. Yeah, I just want to respond very quickly.
Go ahead, yeah.
But, I absolutely respect your personal experience, and I think that that's important. When it comes to science, I'm convinced by peer-reviewed, substantial evidence, and that's the scientific consensus is different than what you've just stated. But I haven't seen all the stuff that you have, and I'd be interested in learning more.
I can send it to you. I can send it to
Great.
You because I look at all that science too, but my experience has been over 30 years that science doesn't have a nature viewpoint. And that there are a lot of things, assumptions that science makes, that I have a different assumptions because I've learned some things from nature. And I think it would be great for scientists to learn more about nature. And
well, from, I mean, I think that you're right in a, at a fundamental level, but there's don't tar all of science. I mean, I think there are wonderful, amazing.
I'm not trying to tar all of science or industry. In fact, I just want to tell you, and I know some people are going to be horrified to hear me say this, but I am very much, I'm so naturally oriented that I will go to great lengths to not do something industrial. And yet recently I started taking an industrial drug to save my life. And because I was doing everything natural and I had done it for so long, and I was just at a crisis where I was going to like end up in the hospital if I didn't take this drug, and I took it, and all my symptoms started subsiding, and it really did save my life. And I think that it's something that I need to say, because I think that people do become too extreme, as you say, one way or the other, like that they won't do something industrial if they have an all-natural viewpoint, or the industrialist won't do something natural, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
For me, it comes down to what's the right thing to do? We live in a world right now where, as I think I said earlier, there's no place to go on Earth where we can be pristine natural. There isn't. And so we need to do some industrial things to correct the industrial problems. That if my body is sick because of industrial reasons, I might need to use an industrial solution in order for it to get well. And it may be that the traditional natural things just don't work. I've heard from doctors who do things like, chiropractic adjustments, for example, where they're now saying those natural remedies aren't working because our bodies are so full of toxic chemicals that they need to do something to rid our bodies of toxic chemicals before the natural thing can work. And so we really are in this state of push me, pull you between these two extremes. So I appreciate your saying that we need to be considering both.
And the point is just that there are some lovely scientists who do have a truly natural perspective, and I think science done right has this wonderful balance. And it is true that there is a type of science that focuses very narrowly on individual molecules and tends to sometimes miss the bigger picture. And I think that is maybe what you're getting at, because you're so focused tightly on how this one molecule looks exactly, acts just the same as this other molecule, that you miss the big picture that, one comes from an organic farm that makes the world a more lovely place, and one comes from this awful industrial hellscape, And those bigger pictures are really worth looking at.
Yeah. And I just during the break I checked my email, and I got a email with a story in it. It called from the Environmental News Network called "The Lead in a Songbird," and it was talking about that there's dangers for people who work with lead, but there's also dangers for birds who live near lead mining districts, and they tested the lead and they said about half of ground feeding songbirds collected from a historic lead mining district in southern Missouri contained toxic levels of lead in their blood and internal organs.
Wow.
And, if we weren't digging up these things that belong underground and turning them into industrial products, then the songbirds would not be being exposed to them. So this is where I think we need to be. It just would be nice if everybody had a bigger viewpoint. And I don't want to be making generalities about all scientists or all people with a natural viewpoint, because I can see people who have strange ideas on both sides. But I think there are laws of nature that can be applied. There is common sense that can be applied. And that there is an inherent desire to survive in everybody and wanting to do the right thing that leads to health and happiness.
There's a an interesting article out just recently looking at obesity and showing that, you know, we know that the obesity epidemic is rampant, but yes. The interesting thing is that we're seeing weight gain across the board in other species as well, not just...
I didn't know that.
So there's, you know, that seems to be an indication that there's something else going on besides, I mean, obviously our food system has big problems with it, but perhaps there's something environmental that's really intrinsic across the board.
Well, it could be endocrine disrupting toxic chemicals being in the environment.
That's one theory.
Because they affect our human weight gain, and if other animals are being affected by them too in the same way. Or it could be sunspots, or it could be all kinds of things.
Yeah, there's lots of theories, but that's certainly one of the leading ones.
Well, Nathaniel, we're getting to the end of our hour. Is there anything you'd like to say that you haven't said?
I think that there are some things out there like bisphenol A, which is something that we don't have proof positive that it's hurting us yet, but I think the evidence is sufficient that we really should be getting rid of it. And in America, we've opted to much more than Europe to make ourselves guinea pigs, and that has some benefits in terms of, you know, we all have fancier iPhones and stuff, but this is one area where I, you know, if you go through and look at the evidence, I think enough is compiled that we really should be getting rid of it.
I agree. And I think that there are some other chemicals as well that we could do that. So, I know that there's I read the last line, the last paragraph of your book, so I know what your conclusion is, but I don't want to give it away if you don't want me to.
It's fine, either way.
Okay, then I'll just say that Daniel's conclusion was that what he was looking for, I mean, Nathaniel, I keep calling you Daniel, Nathaniel's conclusion, what he was looking for of the idyllicness of the natural picture that he had in his mind really had to do with his childhood and his experience of family, and that it all came down to that being the most important thing. So it's a very interesting book to read. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd.
It's such a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio.